Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
This morning, let's go in our Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 4. And if you remember, we're in a series on surviving the end times. You know, that we want to come through these last days intact. Right, with our faith still is intact and on fire for God. Amen. Running the race. We didn't get derailed or any of that. And so we've talked about different things. Let's see if I can remember them all. This is number 5, so there'd be 4 before this. We talked about having peace in a troubled world. We talked about the snare of offense, how many would be offended in the last days, and of course, peace would be a rare commodity in the last days. Then we talked about burning your world down, and about that's talking about how we use our mouth and how, you know, things have gone off the rail in our country with the way people are being blasphemers and slanderers, and it's, we got, as Christians, we got to watch we don't allow that to get in our life and destroy our witness and so forth and our the anointing on our life. And then last week, Dr. Ingolf Schmidt was here, but the Sunday before that, we talked about surviving the flood of filth coming. This morning, I'm going to talk about, and this is the title of what I'm talking about this morning, Watch Out for False Doctrines. And I want to go into 1 Timothy chapter 4 and start there, and we'll go from here. Have you got it? Okay, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 says, this is the King James, it says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly, or he says this expressly. In other words, the Spirit is putting an emphasis on this. Well, how many know if the Holy Spirit's putting an emphasis on it? We probably should too, shouldn't we? Yeah. All right, so here's what he's putting emphasis on, Paul said, that in the latter times, that's the times we're living in, right? I like to say this, we're in the last of the last days, right? You know, in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith. Well, we don't want to be part of that some. And here's why, giving heed to seducing or deceiving spirits and doctrines of devils, or more modern doctrines of demons. So Paul said that the Spirit expressly said that in the latter times, there would be an issue with doctrines of demons, deceiving spirits or false doctrines. So we're going to talk about this morning. And I know it doesn't sound like, you know, a real yip, yip, hooray kind of message. But, you know, when you're talking about survival techniques, it's not all, you know, fun and games, is it? All right, so let's talk about this morning for a little bit here. You know, when you look at what's going on in the church, if you're paying attention, and maybe you're not, you know, maybe you live in your own little world and you don't see some of the things that, as a minister, I see, because I'm kind of in a little different world. But a lot of the essential doctrines of Christianity are under attack right now. I mean, the things that we have believed for thousands of years, the things that we've believed since the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, some things that were firmly established in the Old Testament are under attack. Some of the doctrines, some of the beliefs that we have is being challenged. And one of the things that is unfortunate is being challenged by some that are, quote, in the church. And so there is an attack against solid Bible teaching and, you know, solid truths that we've believed for thousands of years. And the reason we believe it is because they're firmly rooted in the Word of God. You know what I'm saying? So I'm open for change as long as we're changing in the right direction. Amen. And so I'm open for growth, but I want to stay with the Word. Amen. And so we're just going to talk about this morning, because there are, you know, Peter talked about it, and he said in his epistle, he said that in the last days that there would be, he said there would be false teachers come among you that would bring in damnable heresies. And, you know, there's heresies, and by using that word, I may not be using the strictest definition of it, but I think we'll understand. By heresies, I'm talking about false teachings or teachings that don't line up with the Word of God. There's teachings out there that do not line up with the Word. But then there are damnable teachings. Now, that's another level. In other words, if you believe these will damn you. The New King James says destructive. Both words are right. It means both things, destructive and damnable. But they'll destroy your life if you believe them. Now, that's another level. You know, there's all kinds of people, and some of them that I've, ministers that I've known, I've been blessed in my life to know a lot of preachers. I'm friends with a lot of preachers. And I think you see that. We have a special meeting. I mean, the last time we had a special meeting, we probably had 30 preachers here. Thank God they came. Because some of you all didn't, but thank God they did. Amen. But, you know, here's the situation. See, you could believe something, and there are preachers in our town that they believe things, in my opinion, aren't in line with the Word. Let me give you just one, just for example. There are preachers that believe it's not God's will to heal you. Now, to me, that's false doctrine, right? But will it send you to hell? No, won't send you to hell. It may get you to heaven quicker, right? Because you don't believe in healing. You might go to heaven faster, but it won't send you to hell. There are people that don't believe that we should speak in tongues today. Will that send you to hell? No, you can go to heaven without speaking in tongues. Amen. Is it false doctrine? Yes, when you look at the Word, it's false doctrine. Now, that doesn't mean they're heretics or they're, you know, we should, like, disown them in the church. They're just not seeing it right. Right? And there's probably areas that you and I don't see things right. Let me tell you about yours, and then you can tell me about my no. Let's just leave it alone. How about that? But, you know, we're growing, right? We're growing, and so, you know, and some of those people that now, some of you that now believe in healing and believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit years ago, you didn't. But more light came to you. Is that right? So, but what you were believing wasn't damnable, but Peter said in these last days they're going to bring in damnable heresies that if you believe them, if you accept them, they'll damn your soul. Now, that's another level altogether. So we have to be on the watch, and we're going to talk about how, in just a little bit, we're going to talk about how to kind of discern these things, okay? There's a couple good ways to discern whether doctrines are of God or not, all right? So, but one of the things that Jesus said in the last days, his disciples asked him, said, what will be the signs of your coming and of the end of the age? The first thing he said was, take heed that no man deceive you. So he put deception out there first, right? As probably the number one problem in the last days. Well, we know the devil's a deceiver, right? The Bible says in Revelation that he deceives the whole world. So that ought to tell us a little bit about the world. We can't get our information from the world because the devil's deceived them. Revelation says, talks about the devil, describes him that serpent of old that deceives the whole world. So the world's deceived. You were once deceived. Paul talked about it. All of us were once deceived. He said, remember, you were once deceived. Don't get so high and mighty like, you know, you're so wonderful, but you were once deceived, he said, but the love of God and the mercy of God came on us, delivered us, and thank God he can do it for the world. But you have to understand, the world doesn't know church doctrine, Bible doctrine. So we can't go to them. The world thinks, you know, the world thinks that you came from a monkey. There was a big bang. Well, if there was a bang, God's the one that did He's the one that lit the fuse. How many know? We know how we got here, right? In the beginning, God said, let there be light, and there was light. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, right? So we know how we got here. Now, the world doesn't know that. You know, there was a guy by the name of Charles Caldemar. I mean, Darwin. That came up with a theory called evolution. Now, how many know what a theory is? I never heard anybody describe a theory better than Brother Hagin. Brother Hagin said, a theory is a supposition established upon ignorance of the subject under discussion. You want me to say that again? A theory is a supposition established upon ignorance of the subject under discussion. Now, when you think about that, that is a good definition, because if you knew what you were talking about, it wouldn't be a theory, it'd be a fact. So the theory of evolution is taught as fact today, and the fact of creation is taught as theory. It's just backwards. Now, God bless them. You know, they're trying to figure out how we got here. I've already got it figured out. That God, I mean, when you just think about it, if you just had some, just some common sense about you and think about how intricately made the body is, that this there's no way that this just bang and, you know, all this flowed together like this. I mean, come on. This was an intelligent design. You know what I'm saying? It's like a story I heard years ago about, and this is told as a true story, about a young school girl in Russia back many years ago when the communists were in rule and atheism was in control and all that. It was in class, and they were making in her class models of the universe, you know, the earth and so forth. And she made one that was outstanding, put it on the teacher's desk, and didn't put her name on it. And so the teacher said, who made this? This is fantastic. And nobody took credit for it. And he said, no, who made this? He said, this is really good. I want to know who made this. And nobody took credit for it. Finally, he said, look, I want to know who made this. This didn't just happen. The little girl then stood up and said, that's what I've been trying to tell you. She was a Christian. It didn't just happen. It was intelligent design. So see, the devil, his ability to deceive is remarkable. I mean, when you read in the Bible in Revelation, and you study the book of Revelation, the Bible talks about in the millennial reign, God's going to lock him up for 1,000 years. Now, we got 1,000 years on this earth without the devil. The curse is gone. People's lives are blessed. I mean, talk about a good place to live. And then after 1,000 years, the Bible says that God lets him out for a season and he goes to the four corners of the earth and deceives the nations and gets them to try to attack the camp of God, the saints of God. I mean, talk about how deceived can you be to think you can beat Jesus? But his ability to deceive is tremendous, and he's got the whole world deceived. And that's what the Bible says, that he deceives the whole world. So we don't go to the world, amen, for our information. I don't take the world's information as final authority for anything. I'm talking about finances. I don't take it as final authority. I go see what God had to say. And if what they're saying lines up with what he has to say, then we're good to go. Are you following what I'm saying? See, the world would never tell you to tithe and expect to be blessed. They would say, take that money and invest it or spend it on yourself. God's finances are just different. He said, if you want to get blessed, give. So, right? You know, so he's just absolutely opposite of what the world is in these things, but yet he's right and they're wrong. Are you with me now? See, a lot of you think, well, I don't want to come to church because there's all these rules in Christianity. Let me tell you something about those things you're calling rules. They're guardrails. Have you ever been up on top of the Empire State Building? How many ever been up on it? You have? You have? I never have, so I'm going to ask you. Is there some kind of guardrails up there? Now, why do you want that? I mean, that's restrictive. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that keeps you from going everywhere you want to go. You know, it keeps you from going one really bad place off the edge. See, God has these, what the world and even some supposedly church people say, rules. They're guardrails. They're to keep you from crashing your life. When God says, thou shalt not do this, he's not trying to keep us from having fun. He knows what kills us. Whether we know it or not, he knows. How many know that? He knows. Sin brings forth death. Whether you know it or not, it does anyway. Even though you don't know it's doing it, it's doing it. You know, I remember years ago, and this is not a slap against anybody who smokes, so this is, but you know, years ago, many, many years ago, we didn't know that smoking could lead to cancer. I mean, everybody smoked. Pastors smoked. I mean, you know, they did not. But somewhere along the line, you know, we found out that it could cause cancer, right? So we put warnings on the labels, right, on the package, you know, that the Surgeon General has determined that this could be hazardous to your health, all right? All right, now let me tell you, it didn't get hazardous when we found out about it. It wasn't like all of a sudden they made a rule and now it's bad for us. It was bad all along, right? I mean, we found out eating certain foods is probably not good for you if you try to eat too much of it. Is that right? A little less amen on that one. But, you know, we were blissfully, happily ignorant of some of these things, and we didn't know that. You know what I'm saying? We would, when we were kids, you know how kids today, they get heavy on water, you know, and we got a garden hose. Yeah. We lived through it. A little brain damage, but we lived through it. Oh, yeah, we had some brain damage in the 60s and 70s, believe me, because they're running the country now, you can tell. Some of them are. They should have got saved and got their minds renewed. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, we drink out of stuff like that. You know, I remember when I was a kid, you know, we'd go places. Dad had a pickup truck. They just stole us kids in the back of a pickup truck. I'm in the bed. We're just flopping around back there, you know. Yeah, we'd sit on the, Dad would get off the edge of the rail, the bed. Sit down in there, you know, because we sometimes sit up on the edge and he'd holler at us back, get down from there. I mean, we got a little smarter as we went by and thought, you know, wait a minute, if that truck flips over, all those kids are going somewhere, probably to heaven. You know what I'm saying? But what I'm bringing out is this, that the things that God says, they're not there to try to control your life, try to rob you of any fun. They're there to keep you alive. They're guardrails, keep you from falling off the edge. Amen? So we're seeing this rise up in our time where a lot of people are like, we're getting rid of that. You know, now all of a sudden this isn't wrong any longer. You know, to do this is okay. To do that's okay. Things have changed. Society's changed. You need to change. I read an article, or I didn't read the whole thing. I couldn't ingest it. But the article basically was about how Christianity needs to change if it's going to keep reaching people. I'm thinking, change to what? To not be in Christianity? That's what I'm thinking. I mean, what are you talking about? Christianity's either, it's either Christianity or it's not. It's either the truth or it's not. We don't change. Amen. We stick with the Word. Amen. All right. Now, so deception is going to be a good thing. Now I'm going to tell you something. You can agree with me or not, but you're going to be wrong if you disagree with me. I'm going to tell you one thing that's a good defense against, a good guard against deception is have a good pastor. Now listen to me and let me talk to you about this, because there's a lot of people even in our city that run around and don't even have a pastor. Those people are wide open for deception. You say, can't pastors get deceived? Yes, they can, and I've seen some that did get deceived. But the thing of it is, when the pastor goes off the rail in front of the whole congregation, at least some of them, half of them know it. And you see an exodus, and you don't open your eyes and say, something's wrong here. See, Paul said, you may not believe this, but you need to follow somebody. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Keep an eye on me as you keep an eye on Christ. You need some living person in your life that's speaking the truth to you on a weekly basis, you know, and will tell you the truth. Right? And Paul said it like this. He told Timothy, study to show yourself approved, rightly dividing the word of truth. See, what does that mean to rightly divide? That means when we talk about a subject, we need to find everything the Bible said about it to be on track with it. Is that right? See, you know, for instance, I preach on faith a lot. I used to preach on it more than I do now. Now that I'm pastor, I preach on other subjects. But before I was pastor, I preached on faith all the time. Well, how many know you could get off in faith if you didn't keep it right divided? Let's talk about healing. How many know God wants to heal you? But did you know there's a group in our state, I don't know if they're still going, I guess they probably are, but there's a group in our state that they believe in divine healing, but they teach their people, don't you ever take any medicine. They will not allow their members, or they won't allow, but they strongly put emphasis on don't go to the doctor. Don't take medicine. Don't take your kids to the doctor. Some of their kids have died. Now, what's right? Is healing right? But is that in balance with the Word? Does the Word say don't take medicine? Well, Pastor, why should I take medicine? Well, till your body gets the healing, it's messed up. And if you got sugar diabetes, honey, till you're healed and you don't take your insulin, your body's going to be screwed up because it hadn't caught up with your body yet. You've got to let it catch up. Are you with me on this? See, I mean, that's balance, rightly dividing the word of truth in the area of healing. Don't run out of here. You know, it's like if you can't see from here to that wall, don't say I'm healed and break your glasses and drive when I'm on the street. Wait till it manifests. Why? Because it hasn't caught up with your body yet. You may know it in your heart. You may know it in your head, but your body doesn't know it yet. Until it knows it, you got to keep it alive. And as far as driving, I want you to keep me alive. Just wear your glasses. When you put them on and everything's blurred and you take them off and everything's clear, then throw them away. See, I heard about a lady, true story, and she got prayed for. She had sugar diabetes problems, and she got the prayer of faith and went her way, and then she began to feel bad. She began to feel terrible, and she went to the doctor, and the doctor checked her out, and he said, well, the problem is you're taking insulin and you don't need it now. Hallelujah. It's time to get rid of it. Right? See, that's good balance. What about prosperity? How many know we need to be rightly divided in prosperity? Prosperity is a biblical teaching, friend. And there are people that attack it and say, well, Jesus didn't die to prosper you. You just better read your Bible a little closer again. But where we get off is people talk about, well, God's going to make you all billionaires, you know, and if you're not prosperous, you're not spiritual, you're not holy. Come on, give me a break. That's not biblical. That's not balanced. The balance is God's promise to give you a full supply. What's a full supply? All that you need. You know what He wants to do with us? According to the Apostle Paul, He wants to take us to the place where the Bible says that we having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. What's He say? I want to get you so blessed you don't have to think about your needs. You just think about other people's needs. Hallelujah. Now see, that's the balance. But yet I've heard, well, God's going to make us all billionaires. Come up here, I'm going to lay my hands on you. You're going to have a million-dollar anointing on your life. Listen, there's such goofy stuff. There's something going on right now. God bless them. They're hungry. They're young. But some of the elders in the church ought to set up and say, yeah, you're just being stupid. You know, they do what they call grave sucking now. What's grave sucking? Well, you find an anointed man or woman of God that's went to heaven. You go lay on their grave and suck the anointing out. Now, let me just tell you something here real straight. They consecrated and dedicated for years to get that anointing. And you're going to go lay on their grave and suck it out and go on and be like that? I don't think so. See, I never heard of that one. Well, I'm sorry I introduced it to you. But anyway, it's out there. Weird doctrines. There's no Bible for that. You know, we came through all this stuff like laying hands on people. Brother Hagin said, you know what it is? He says it's laying empty hands on empty heads. I thought that's what it is, all right. You know, we're praying for people. I'm going to give you the gift of this. I'm going to give you the gift of that. Brother Hagin said he was preaching one time in a guy's church, and he said this lady rocked the whole time. He said, I thought, well, she's got something wrong with her, you know. And then the next service, she's rocking again, you know, like this. He said, you know, after a while, that kind of gets, kind of bothers you. You know, it kind of gets distracting. So he said, well, I asked the pastor after a service, I said, what's wrong with that woman? Has she got something physically wrong with her? He said, oh, Brother Hagin, he said, I've been meaning to deal with that. He said, well, what is it? He says, well, she went to an evangelist and he gave her the gift of rocking. Brother Hagin said, well, what good is it? Well, she believes that if she's rocking, that means you're in the Spirit. You're in the anointing. If she's not, then you're not. So Brother Hank said, I must have been anointing the whole night because she rocked the whole time. He said, well, I meant to deal with that. He said, well, I just fixed it where he could. I called her over there. All right, pastor's got something to say to you. There's no gift of rocking. You say, I never heard people that weird. Well, they're out there. Unfortunately, they come to our services sometimes. We had a lady bring a spiritualist to our service one time, and she pushed her in the line, shoved her up there. You know? And she said, now Pastor Pearl's going to tell you whether those voices you hear are from God or not. I asked her one question. I said, are you born again? She said, no. I said, you believe Jesus is the Son of God? You know, the only way to heaven? No. I said, well, them voices aren't from God. Those are the devil. Amen. That was pretty easy to discern. Bless this young, this was just a young Christian. She thought, you know, get her in Pastor Pearl's service and he'll get her delivered. But you got to want to be delivered, you know what I'm saying? She wanted to hear those voices. She can hear those voices. All right, are you with me now? All right, now let's continue talking about this. So we, you know, a good pastor. We need balance. You know, pastors ought to rightly divide, bring balance. You know, like grace, like the grace message today. Think about this. Grace is a great, wonderful. I just spent four weeks teaching on grace on Wednesday night. But there's a lot of grace teachers that are teaching grace allows you to sin. How many? That's not biblical. Paul said, "Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid." What about holiness? Holiness is a good thing, right? But did you know you go back a few years and holiness meant you couldn't have any makeup on? I'm talking to the ladies. Guys, I don't want to see you with none on either. Or we're going to have some issues, you and I. Yeah. All right. So how many know that was that? Is that Bible? No, it's not Bible. Well, yeah, the Bible says, you know, don't plait your hair, don't do your hair, you know, don't put on jewelry, but it also says clothing too. So does that mean women aren't supposed to wear clothing? I don't mean to be vulgar, but I'm just saying if you're going to interpret that way, interpret it the right way. The right way is Paul was saying, when you read the context, he was saying don't put your emphasis on that. Put your emphasis on the inward man, building up the inward man. Like Brother Hagin said, even an old barn looks a little better with a little paint on it. You know, so listen. All right, I didn't call you a barn. All right. So holiness, you know, think about it. There was a teaching years ago, some of us have been around, remember, it was called the discipleship teaching, and it had some truth in it, but where it got off is where people took it and went beyond the word. You know, it's like discipleship, everybody needs a pastor. That's true. God gave us a fivefold ministry. He gave pastors as a shepherd of the sheep, and Jesus said without a pastor. He didn't say without an evangelist, he didn't say without a teacher, he didn't say without a prophet, he said without a shepherd, sheep are scattered. So, they need that every week, weekly feeding, and you know somebody that can be there and you know help them. So the teaching on discipleship that was true, but where they got off was they said, well, you can't have babies unless you ask your pastor. Your pastor has to tell you how many babies you have to have. Your pastor has to okay your house. Your pastor has to okay your car. Where's that in the Bible? The Bible says he watches over your soul. He doesn't tell you how many kids to have. I mean, if he did, he'd probably tell you to have more. We didn't want to grow the church. I appreciate the way people are having babies right now. Keep it up. Keep going. Glory to God. Have 12. Hallelujah. Homegrown's the best. Amen. I slipped back in the 70s there. Excuse me. Now, you understand that there was truth in that, but that's just, there's no Bible for that. The Bible says he's going to give an account for your soul, and he better be able to do it with joy. That's in Hebrews, right? The Bible says to submit yourself to the leadership. But they took it so far, you couldn't do anything. You know, pastor, can I, you know. Now, the pastor might speak into you and say, I don't think you should marry that person because they're discerning and saying something. You understand that that's different than trying to control your life. Amen. Now, all right. Now, let's go on. Let's move on. Let's go to Colossians chapter 2. You get anything this morning? Just a little teaching on this about surviving the end times, watching out for false doctrines. I'm going to give you some things here to help you discern whether doctrines are true. Of course, you would understand the first thing you would need to know is it in the Bible? Right? I mean, you know, just because somebody says something doesn't mean it's the truth. I'm amazed at how... Well, I'll talk about this in just a little bit, but you need to understand it's got to be in the Word. And not some isolated scripture. You need to find it throughout the Word. Are you with me? So you could pull any scripture out and make it say anything you want to say. Like Jesus said, what things serve you desire? When you pray, believe, you receive them, you shall have them. I could say, all right, you know what? I really like your house. I'm believing God's going to give me your house. I mean, that's not right. That's covetousness. Right? Or I'm going to believe God's going to give me, you know, a billion dollars from the bank over here. How many of that, once again, it's just foolishness, right? Yeah. Why? Well, but didn't Jesus say that? He said, what things have you prayed when you believe? Everybody say believe. How does faith come? I know you know this, but I make sure we understand. Faith comes by what? Hearing. And hearing by what? So could you have real faith for something unless you heard it out of the Word of God? Did the Word of God tell you the bank's going to give you $1 billion? No, then you couldn't have faith for it. Foolishness, presumption, but not faith. So that balances that scripture out, right? It lets us know it's just not just a wide open thing where we can do anything we want to. It's according to the will of God. Now, Colossians chapter 2, you there? Verse 8. Paul said, beware lest any man spoil you. And that word spoil means to rob you, to take from, to steal from you, through philosophy. Now notice this. Number one, through philosophy. We'll talk about that. Through vain deceit, or that means delusion, empty delusion. I've heard some teachings that were delusional. After the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. So we could get cheated if we fall for philosophy, for vain deceit or delusional teachings or traditions of men or the rudiments or the basic principles of the world, the way the world thinks about things. Paul said those things, if you inject them in Christianity, they will cheat you, they will rob you, see. But the one I want to talk about is the one that we see the most of today. It used to be traditions of men, but today the one we see the most of today is philosophy. Now, what does it mean to philosophize? To philosophize means to speculate, to theorize, or to deduce. See, in other words, now listen, you may not, unless you're trained, you may not understand this, but there's a lot of preaching that goes on today that's nothing but philosophy. It's deducing, it's theorizing, it's speculating. It's not based on the Word. Right? It has to. Keith Moore said something, I think it's just outstanding. He said, for something to be Scripture, what does it have to have? It has to have Scriptures. I wish I'd have thought of that. Matter of fact, I think I'm going to take it from him, and I'm not going to give him credit any longer. Amen. But he said that, you know. See, we need to base our doctrine on the Word, not on concepts, not on philosophizing, not on, you know, our theories. Right? We need or let me say this, are on experience. Well, I prayed for Aunt Minnie and she died, and that means healing, you know, is not real. Or she was confessing her healing and she died. That means healing's not real. That doesn't mean anything. It doesn't change the Word. You're basing your belief, your doctrine, on an experience. Now think about this. It's been a few years back. There was a very popular pastor in America that was very popular with young people, that really, he had been born again, he had been a true believer, and had been serving the Lord Jesus Christ, but somewhere or another, he came up with the teaching that hell isn't real. It's not a real place. That all the references to hell in the Bible, we're talking about what your life would be like on earth without Jesus. That was what he preached. He published a book, and it was called Love Wins. Love Wins. And I thought to myself, now how do you go from being a true pastor to believing this junk? So I probably shouldn't have done it, but I did. I bought the book and I read it. I would have told you not to, but I'm the pastor. So I thought, I got to see how this guy got here. I got to see, how did you get here? How did you get from being a true man of God, a true pastor, to now you're telling people hell doesn't really exist? Here's how he got there. He read in the Bible, God is love. God is love. Is that true? Yeah, that's who God is. He doesn't have love. It says he is love. That's true. So he deduced. He philosophized. He theorized, because God is love, God would not send people to a place as bad as hell. Now that sounds good, and that's exactly right, Frida. The love of God got us out of there. See, when you study the Scriptures doesn't say God's sending you to hell. The Scriptures teach we were already going. And he sent Jesus to get us out. See? But that's what he deduced. So he built a whole concept, got a following. Boy, he had a following. I mean, he had a church of 5,000 people. But he wrote the book, and I thought, I've got to read this. I've got to see, how did he get here? How do you get here? But see, that's nothing but philosophy. See, we have a lot of that today in our preaching. Well, yeah, but God is love, and therefore he wouldn't punish people. He wouldn't judge people. Well, he doesn't want to, but you better read your Bible. It does say he will. Are you with me this morning? So we have. Well, no, it's. Are you understand what I'm talking about? When I'm talking about philosophy, it's theorizing. It's deducing. You deduce. You deduce. You mentally deduce what you believe to be. That's dangerous. We need to go back and find out what he said about it, not what we think about it. How many know what we think about it is not necessarily right? We have to go back what he said about it. There's things that, you know, that people are preaching, and they're very popular people, but when you analyze it under the microscope, it's nothing but philosophy. It's not based on the Word. Amen. All right, now, you're awful quiet, but this is the truth. If you really begin to study it, let me show you something. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians. Let me show you something. Here's what we got to have. So we got to watch and make sure that what we're hearing isn't philosophy. Is it really grounded in the Word? Take this gentleman. You know, I hope he gets out of this. I really do. You know, I hope he gets out of this mess. He's gotten even worse, but I hope he gets out of it. But here's the thing. Think what he said. There's plenty of scriptures that tell us hell's literal. Jesus said there was a certain rich man and a certain man named Lazarus. He wasn't preaching a parable. He was saying the rich man was in hell. And he was alert down there. And he was in torment down there. Jesus talked about the lake of fire. He talked about hell many times in the Bible. So just to take a passage and deduce that can't be what the Bible means. No, the Bible means what it says. Are you with me now? I want to show you something here. Here's something that we got to get hold of. When we're talking about watch out for false doctrines, number one, you need to stick with the Word. If it's in the Bible, if it's scriptural, it's got scriptures to back it. Not things you pulled out, but you can find it and it rightly divided through the Word of God. Amen. But here's another thing. In Thessalonians, let's go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Let me show you this. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, let me see where I want to go. Go to verse 9. Let's just start there. Verse 9, it says, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because, now notice this, they receive not the love of the truth. Everybody say the love of the truth. That they might be saved. For this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. One of the great things that's going to guard us against deception and false doctrine is have a love for the truth. Now what does that mean? That means we don't just want something that justifies our lifestyle. See, a lot of people, even Christians, they are looking for a teaching that justifies their lifestyle. They don't have a love for the truth. We should be, hit me with the truth, baby, even if it hurts me. Right? See, and a lot of people don't want that. We had this comes to my mind. Wednesday night we had a gentleman here, and I hope he comes back. But he came in, he sat back here, and I went back and talked to him, introduced myself to him. And he said, I'm here to just check you out. Well, okay, great. You know, check out a restaurant. But, you know, a lot of times you don't, you know, a lot of people go, I'm trying churches out. One time doesn't tell you much sometimes, you know. Inside you should really pray too. But, you know, and bless his heart, he came and said, I've come to check the church out, you know. Well, he didn't even make it through praise and worship before he got up and walked out. And Brother Kenny followed him outside. Kenny being Kenny, did what Kenny does. Thank God for Kenny. And I mean that sincerely. He followed him outside and, you know, and said, hey, well, you know, basically, like, what's up? And the guy said, well, I'm under conviction. He said, I think I'll go back to my church. Now, what do you think about that statement? Bless his heart, he doesn't know any better. Hopefully, you know, that something got in him and he'll be back. Or at least go someplace where he can get something. Because if he's not getting conviction at his church and he gets it at another church, that's probably the church you should go to. See, he wasn't running from our church. He's running from God. Our church isn't convicting him. It's our God in our church. I told Phyllis, I said, we get so used to the presence of God that we don't even realize what's going on sometimes in our services because we're just used to it. But you get somebody that hasn't felt the Holy Ghost move and come in and they feel it, that's new to them. And that can put some fright in them, see. I know where he's coming from because when I first went to the Revival Center, my thoughts were, if I ever get out here alive, I'll never come back. Because they scared me because of the presence of God, the moving of the Holy Ghost, see. And I'll tell you what, you know, I'm glad that something got in me and I went back, see, because that's what I needed. That's what this man needs. He needs to be in a place. If his church, if he can go to his church and he's comfortable and he's not convicted, if he's convicted, then something God's convicting him about, see. And so he needs to be that. He needs to run to God, not run from the church. But see, that's the way some people are, and I'm not blaming this on this guy. That's not what I'm saying. I'm simply saying, but that's what a lot of people are. They want doctrines that justify them, not that preaches the truth to them. See, our society today, the world's definition of love is so screwed up. Love today is defined as you do for me what I want you to do for me. But true Bible love is I'm going to do for you what you need. What you really need. Not what you want, but what you really need. That's the love of God. God doesn't do for you what you want done. He does for you what you need. That's true love. So it's all screwed up. The world's got it screwed up. And now the church has let that in. And we got preachers that think if you confront any kind of sin or anything, you're a hater, you're a bigot, you're awful, you're the devil. When the truth is, when you allow people to drive off an edge of the cliff and go into hell and not say anything, you're the one that's the devil, if you pardon my expression. But you're the one that's evil and bad. I mean, what if I lived next door to Dustin and I saw his house on fire and I thought, you know, it's just too far of a walk. He'll probably wake up, probably. I mean, there's something wrong with me. See, and that's the way a lot of preachers are wanting to do it today. Well, yeah, but they're not going to like you ringing their doorbell and banging on the door at, you know, 2 o'clock in the morning. No, they're not. But once they find out why I did it, they'll get over it real quick. Right? See, and this is the way a lot of preachers are facing. Well, we don't want to offend the world. They're already offended with you. What's wrong with you? Jesus said if they hated me, they'll hate you. What's wrong with us? Why do we care so much by what they say? I hear Christians whining because the world's persecuting them. What do you expect them to do? Kiss your head? What's wrong with you? Come on, I'm getting in your grill a little bit. What's wrong with you? What do you think? It means you got something. Jesus said you ought to rejoice and jump for joy. I was preaching this one night about that, and some guy in the back just took up, whoa! I thought, I don't know what he's going through, but have yourself a time, brother. He was doing the right thing. Amen. So everybody say love of the truth. Hallelujah. Everybody, glory to God. Listen now. The Bible says the time will come that they will not endure sound doctrine. But according to their lusts, their desires, what they want, they will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They'll turn their way. The Bible says they'll turn from the truth. That's not us. Amen. I want it. Amen. I want it straight. You know, the true word of God, Jesus said, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word of God. The true word of God will feed your spirit. Not just tantalize your mind or please your flesh. It'll feed your spirit. Jesus said this. He said this about his word. He said, whoever hears my word, my sayings, and does them, I liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. But he who hears my sayings and doesn't do them, he's like a foolish man built his house on the sand. See, it's the word. You can find your doctrine that that pleases your flesh, but your house is going to fall because it's not the word. Phyllis can tell you, I'm telling you the truth, I've had many people leave our church because I counseled them out of the Bible. Get mad at me. But see, that's the only thing that's going to save them. You know, I'm thinking about a couple that came ahead. This lady had all kinds of demonic problems going on in her house. And so they want help, you know. They want help, so okay, meet with the pastor, okay. Well, okay, I took time to meet with him, and we sat down, and we talked, and we got to talking. And I don't even know how, Phyllis might remember, I don't even know how he found out. You know, I'm trying to figure out, why does this woman have all this demonic activity? And some things she was claiming, it sounded like she had demonic activity going on in her house. Well, they were kind of new here. They'd only been here 3 or 4 times, but, you know, they were looking for some help. And, of course, we want to help them, you know. And so I got them in my office, and Phyllis is in there, and we're talking. And some way we found out that she had this whole collection of horror movies that she watched. And I tried to explain to her that that's not of God. Harry Potter books. Now, you may get offended at me, but Harry Potter and witchcraft's not a god. It shouldn't be in a Christian's home. The Bible tells us in Deuteronomy that God strictly forbids that kind of stuff. He does not want you getting your counsel from the devil. He wants you getting it from Him. And if you go to the devil to get your counsel, then I guess he's your Lord, see? That's the way the spirit realm looks at it. So they had all that stuff in there. And so I said, well, you have got to cleanse your house of that stuff. You've got to get your stuff out. Well, we like watching those movies. I said, well, that's your problem. You're letting the devil in your house through that demonic stuff. It's an open door. I can't kick him out. The door's open. No need killing flies if you're going to leave the doors and windows open. How many understand what I'm saying? See, you got to close the door, see? Well, that caused them to leave, and they've never been back. And they probably still got demonic things going on in their house because you can't, unless you're going to love the truth and deal with it. Deuteronomy 7 says, if you bring in a cursed thing in your house, you'll be accursed just like it. You may think I'm going overboard, but I don't have it in my house, and I got peace in my house, and I don't have demons in my house. I got joy in my house. I got blessing in my house. I got prosperity in my house. I got healing in my house. So look, if you're coming to me, that must mean you think I'm better off than you. I mean, if I'm broke, I don't go to the guy that's broker than me to ask for financial counsel. I think I'll find somebody that's got a little bit of money that knows a little bit of something about it. You understand what I'm saying? But yet, when you give them the truth, sometimes they don't want that. Now, I'm just meddling right now, but it's good preaching anyway. Hallelujah. Did you get something out of this today? We need to build our lives on the Word. Amen.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.